I must have this thing. So tonight we have Debbie D from California. So I'm going to go ahead and try and flip this around. If everyone can help me welcome Debbie D.
Hey, hi everybody. I am Debbie and I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here. Coming to you live from Concord, California. I'm outside of San Francisco and happy to be back at this group in Virginia. I've gotten to share with you a number of times in person and over the Zoom years. So good to be here. Singleness of purpose. Let me just say that I am no expert on this, but I have a great passion about it. Just to give you a few stats, or probably the biggest one is my sobriety date. I've been sober since February 8, 1976, which means I've been with you for over 46 years. Doesn't seem possible. It just seems like I'm lying to you, although I'm not. I mean, how do you get to be 46 years sober when you're 39 years old? I don't know how that works, but that's the new math, okay? And the thing of it is I feel about 46 years old, but I took my first drink at 12 and my last at 18, and I had a singleness of purpose. I was on a mission. I had one thing in my mind, and that was the next drunk. That was the next drink. And so I understood singleness of purpose in that way right from the beginning. Self, self, self. That was my singleness of purpose. But aren't we so fortunate to have a singleness of purpose? In looking back at when Alcoholics Anonymous got started, Ebby carried the message to his friend Bill. Bill knew he'd had a bad drinking problem. Heard he had been committed for insanity kinds of clauses, and he's calling him now. He must have escaped. I wonder how he did that. And this is in Bill's story. And I was just reading it this morning, so it's kind of fresh. And Bill was looking forward to having a good drinking night with his friend. Except Ebby showed up sober and there was something in his eyes. Ebby came to carry the message that he had, which was when Bill said, "What happened?" He says, "I got religion." Now, if you and I walked in the door and that was said to us, we probably would have turned flip on our heel and left. But Ebby was right. He had religion. He had the Oxford group, a couple of months of that under his belt. But what he had greater than that was the guidance and the method that in order to help yourself, you have to help someone else. It's not about you get it and you get to keep it and hope you find yours. So he had a singleness of purpose in going to Bill. If he cared to have it, I'll tell you what happened to me. I'll tell you what I've been doing the last couple of months. I've been sober. Clearly, Bill had the conflict of this power greater than yourself, and especially when Ebby says, according to Bill, why don't you choose your own conception of God? Well, gosh, if I can choose my own conception, then there's no argument. There's no debate. I can't have that God or that belief when you choose your own conception, you're standing in it. There's nobody to argue with. And that just totally, totally deframed him. And so we know of Bill's experience having really in a super condensed fashion took the steps as we know them today. They weren't written at the time. He has what he describes his spiritual experience, quite life-changing. And his commitment, because he saw Ebby carry the message to him, was to maybe there's thousands out there that would like to have what I have who would like a different way of life. And he set out to do that. And he would go on to say that that first year and a half when it was bleak and self-pity and depression plagued him, he couldn't find work for that first year and a half, that when all other measures failed, maybe those other measures for some of us would be food or overspending or sex or gambling or whatever that we're going to distract ourselves. When all other methods failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Now, there's two things in there. Another alcoholic, someone who has the same problem I do or did, that I can share my experience with, maybe a little offer, a little hope. It wasn't, I better go looking for another stockbroker to, you know, talk shop with. Or I should go look for another guy who made a boomerang. Or I should, whatever the information might be. He knew to look for another alcoholic to save the day, not the week, not the year, not 6 month grace period, because I talked to another alcoholic, gave him my best shot. It's the day. And then tomorrow is another day that I will do recovery looking actions. So right from the beginning, we had a singleness of purpose. When Bill goes to Akron, and of course we know he's worked with many, I think that number is in this, I've heard the number, I think it's in the 90s. I'm not going to quote a number. It's someone else on here might know more specifically what the number was. But because he was trying to pitch the spiritual experience he had, Dr. Silkworth goes, Bill, chill it. You're going to have to dial that back a little bit, buddy. Most of them are not going to have the experience you did. Why don't you start with the physical part of the illness? They're going to be able to relate to that a lot more. Okay, so the first person he tries this new method on is Dr. Bob. We know Dr. Bob to be a physician, a proctologist, a surgeon. But more importantly, Bill wasn't there to maybe get a couple of bucks, maybe help get train fare back because he's got 10 bucks in his pocket. He says, I can either pay my bill or I can get it. I can't do both. I can't leave and go home. He wasn't there to ingrace himself to the cyberlings to maybe get a little, you know, ooh la la. He had one purpose in contacting Dr. Bob, to save his sobriety and possibly help someone else, because that would boomerang to save him. And so the singleness of purpose was exactly that. And it started with those two men, and the conversation continues 87 years later. Our only purpose, I'm not here when I sponsor someone, I'm not here to get them into real estate or sell them a house. I mean, I'm not a realtor, but if I was, I'm not here to get them into my favorite volunteer charity. I'm not here to share with them about the investments they should make. None of that. Even if I were qualified in those areas, that is totally out of my scope. That's not my primary purpose here. It says it very clearly in the fifth tradition. The primary purpose is to carry this message. Let me get that. Of course, you know, when you want to say it, you can never remember it exactly. You'll trip all over it. That each group has but one primary purpose. Not build membership, not raise a bunch of money, not become the biggest, bestest group in the world, not do anything but this, carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. I don't know, a lot of people don't come in with a sign, I'm suffering, written across their forehead, but they are. They got the look good. They got the facade on. They got the back off, don't talk to me sign on. But they are suffering. What message, singleness of purpose message, can I carry? One of hope, I hope. One of we have found a solution for alcoholism. Just because you go to 400 meetings a week and pick up 500 newcomers and take them to those meetings does not replace step one, does not replace step four, does not take the place of step nine. That's busy, very, very busy. But the day comes when the check is due. And I've got to have a message to carry versus just don't drink and don't die. There's a whole lot between don't drink and don't die that I need to do. Okay. Like take the steps and be in service. We are so fortunate to have a singleness of purpose where we're not distracted by other needs of my community or my city or my county or my state. We got one purpose, help the drunk who's still suffering. That's it. I can be involved in all of those things outside of the rooms in a private citizen fashion, but in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the monk sponsees and anything to do with AA, that must stay my singleness of purpose. Our first tradition is all about common welfare, that our common welfare must come first. If I forget about everything else, I put the stake of common welfare, tradition one, in the ground, and all of the other traditions are like the maypole strings. All are important on their own, but they all lead back to the maypole of tradition one. They all lead back to the reason this tradition is here is so that we have common welfare. The whole is far greater than me, the individual. So, a couple traditions that I want to give some focus to today. One of them is tradition three. So tradition three, I'm sorry, I'm going to grab I got it right here. The long form. I wanted to share the long form. I really wish we had the long form that we said instead of our short form. Because tradition three is short form, we know, says the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. And we understand through our history and literature, they wanted, after all the rules and regulations, Bob and Bill couldn't even have joined AA, okay? So we got to simplify that, make it possible for the alcoholic who's bumbling and fumbling and tumbling around to be able to join AA. So do you have a desire to stop drinking? We don't care if you have 60 other addictions, dilemmas, obsessions, failings. Is any of them booze? Come on in. We can help you with that. Now, some of those other things might need professional help, but most of the time, the drinking sort of exacerbated, made those things all move around. We can help you walk through the recovery from alcoholism to help introduce you to a power greater than yourself. And it's kind of amazing how many, I'm not going to say all, many times those other items have a tendency to recover as well. If they don't, this is why there are hundreds of other programs regarding that specific dilemma, addiction, whatever's troubling you, have borrowed our 12 steps. You don't copy a loser, okay? You copy a winner. You go for success. I don't know if there's any idea the untold millions of people by using the 12-step method have recovered from their illness, addiction, obsession. I have no idea. There's around over 2 million in Alcoholics Anonymous, keeping in mind they're not always the same 2 million every day, but 2 million plus around the world. But when you think about that, they could all fit in the San Francisco Greater Bay Area. So while the number sounds kind of big, it's really not. Not with the amount of alcoholism still actively out there. Now, what the long form, which I wanted to read, is says our membership ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism. That means drinking alcoholism, not secondhand alcoholism. I suffer from alcoholism. I've never had a drink, but my loved one is an alcoholic. Now we're talking about like the drinking kind of alcoholism that you need to have drank. Hence, we may refuse none who wish to recover. Nor ought AA membership ever depend upon money or conformity. So it's not required that I put money in the basket or pay a due or fee. However, we do find that we, further down the line of traditions, we have expenses. Initially, you might not be in a position to do much, but those that can't contribute is a small percentage. Most of us have gotten or acquired decent jobs. We can afford more than that buck in the basket. That buck in the basket hasn't served us in 40 years. I don't know why we think it would now. So we, you know, what's the price of the designer coffee drink you bring in? What's the, you know, what was the price of your last drink? I mean, what, how about a buck per legacy? I mean, just all kinds of things we can do to think outside the box. But at some point, we want to participate also in this way and go from a taker to a giver financially as well. And then conformity. I'm going to share a story about conformity with you in just a second. Any two or three alcoholics, again, you can have 400 other problems. If you're an alcoholic, gather together simply for sobriety, no other purpose. Gather together for sobriety can call themselves an AA group. Now, this is a line they added after they had the original form. Provided that as a group, they have no other affiliation. What does that mean? That means that we could have one member that goes to the ABC church. We could have another member who's atheist. We could have another member who's part of the local school board. But here, who cares? Here, in these rooms, the only thing that matters, are you an alcoholic or do you have a problem with alcohol? We can share our experience with how we have recovered from alcoholism. That's the only purpose. Any of those other items, you'll find the place to talk about those, participate in those. But here, we must keep it that simple. Many people come in here completely confused what AA is. If we imply that we will help you with this and help you with that, we have dangerously blurred our message. Dangerously. I am not someone who really thinks it's wise, and I don't with sponsees bring in outside literature. I am going to share with you something that's far better explained by Narcotics Anonymous regarding singleness of purpose than I've seen in our literature. If I had it in our literature, I'd share that. But they did this with class, clarity, and compassion for the alcoholic and for the addict. Now, we often have, we have this pamphlet called Problems Other Than Alcohol. Many of us come in with them. Many come in also as an addict. Or maybe their drinking was a now and then, and they're really, really always drawn to the drugs. As long as booze is also a problem, or they would like help with that, we can help you. However, keeping our singleness of purpose is very important. I have a hard time when professionals usually say, it's all one, the one thing, a drug's a drug's a drug's a drug. I'm not equipped to intellectually combat that or give the definition of why they're not. But let me explain this. While we might have many of the same feelings, I don't really feel I had a lot of feelings coming in here. I didn't relate to the feelings, what they said. I was ready to live a different way of life finally. But here's what Bill does say in the Problems Other Than Alcohol. I see no way of making non-alcoholic addicts into AA members. Experience says loudly that we can admit no exceptions, even though drug users and alcoholics happen to be first cousins of a sort. I love that sweet way he stated that. Acknowledging it, but we're just simply first cousins of a sort. Now, let me share with you a couple things from Narcotics Anonymous on singleness of purpose. They're like, so why did we start NA? So this was written back in 1985. You can Google it, World Service Bulletin of Trustees, number 13. Some of you are familiar with that. Back in 1985, they put together this beautifully described singleness of purpose, the why of it and so forth. It's about 3 pages. I'm not going to read 3 pages. I want to read you some of the highlights that are important. So they founded Narcotics Anonymous simply because they said, Alcoholics Anonymous has a singleness of purpose. They can't be always changing alcoholic and addict and drug addict and all. They can't always be changing the words. It just doesn't work. And so they go on to say, when our members, our NA members, identify as addicts and alcoholics. Now, we often get, I'm an alcoholic and an addict, okay? So they say, when our members identify as addicts and alcoholics or talk about sobriety and living, quote, clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. They're very clear and kindly clear about that. At first glance, this seems minor, but our experience clearly shows that the full impact of the NA message is crippled by this subtle semantic confusion. The subtle semantic confusion. Yeah, they're all one thing. It's drug is a drug. Crossover. They say the focus of AA is on the alcoholic. And we ought to respect that fellowship's perfect right to adhere to its own traditions and protect its focus. If we cannot use language consistent with that, we ought not go to their meetings and undermine that atmosphere. Again, I know that when people say I'm an alcoholic and addict, I'm clean and sober since, I know that there is a feeling of wanting to include those who might have a drug problem. I understand that. But you also blur what we have is sobriety that covers everything. For them, clean covers everything instead of blurring it. He goes, in the same way, we NA members ought to respect our own primary purpose and identify ourselves at NA meetings simply as addicts and share in a way that keeps our message clear. Many times we try to make that addict into an alcoholic. Now they might be. Initially, many people are more than happy to say, I'm an addict, drug addict. It might take some months to, oh, I'm also an alcoholic. Not a problem. Go to open meetings and listen. Go to preferably open speaker meetings. In my community, there's a lot of open discussion, which means they can pretty well talk if they want to. It's open. So go to lots of speaker meetings. Listen. Are there some similarities? Where do you feel drawn to in your spirit? Not because the people are nicer and they dress better or something. Where does your spirit seem to be hearing the message? Try to open that up. Another comment they make is, as a fellowship, meaning NA, we must continue to strive to move forward by not stubbornly clinging to one radical extreme or another. Our members who have been unintentionally blurring the NA message by using drug-specific language such as sobriety, alcoholic, clean and sober, dope fiend, etc., could help by identifying simply and clearly as addicts and using the words clean, clean time, and recovery, which imply no particular substance, because they too have the issue of, okay, drug addicts, narcotics addicts, well, do we break that down? What's your drug of choice? Do you know, that's for them, but it just implies no particular drug of substance. We could all help by referring to our own literature at meetings, thereby avoiding any implied or endorsed affiliation. And then they end with this beautiful statement. Think about this also as members of AA here, our singleness of purpose. If you didn't know this was coming from Bulletin 13, you wouldn't know. Let's devote our energies to our personal spiritual development through our own 12 steps. Let's carry our own message clearly. There's a lot of work to be done, and we need each other if we are to be effective. Let's move forward in the spirit of NA, or for us, AA unity. Now, I said I was going to tell you a story about my own regarding what I call my gentle conformity. Even though conformity is not required, I have a skirt on, I'm camera ready and so forth, and I choose to come to you in this manner because if I was coming to you in person, I would look this way too, okay? Now, if I had pajama bottoms on, you would not notice. You wouldn't know. I would know. So I don't want to, because we're on Zoom, dumb down my respect to you just because you can't see. And so my conformity is of a few things. I've been influenced by many people, influenced in a step it up kind of manner, get into service kind of manner. What more can I do? I've had that kind of influence provided to me over the years. When I got sober, I had been introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous through a treatment program in a little town called Grand Forks, North Dakota. There, because a drug is a drug is a drug, we throw it all in one pot, we call it AA recovery, you are chemically dependent. Wow, that's a lot of syllables. That's a lot of words. Well, I don't know any different. I don't even want to be here. I'm not staying, so I don't really have to like pay attention to stuff. So I go to Minneapolis when I leave this treatment program, and I am in the land of 10,000 treatment centers. Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes. This is the land of 10,000 treatment programs, halfway houses, recovery homes, you name it. They got it. It is a flurry. Other people are saying things other than they're an alcoholic. They're saying dependent, chemically dependent, alcoholic and drug addict. They're saying all kinds of things. I just kept mimicking what I was told. I'm Deb and I'm chemically dependent. Then I cut that down to be I'm Deb and I'm dependent. Okay, so we're about a year into this, and I'm sitting at a conference table. This is back in the day when you got to show up and you pay your money, you fill out your form, you pay your money, and away you go. And I'm sitting at the registration table with a long timer. And the gal walks up and she says, are you AA or Al-Anon? And she says, I'm chemically dependent. I bam, check off the AA box, away she goes. The old timer turns to me and says, what the hell is that? I said, it means we're an alcoholic and a drug addict. He says, oh my gosh. You know, here we are just simply alcoholics. He says, the reason is because that new person coming in the door who doesn't know what's going on, hears you say you're chemically dependent, is going to say, well, what is that? Do I have to be that too? I mean, I have a problem with booze. I don't know what that is. I maybe I was wrong. Maybe I don't have any hope here. Maybe they can't help me. He didn't say, you better shape up, little girl, and start calling yourself an alcoholic or we're going to report you. We're going to kick you out of AA if you don't say what we think you should say. Not at all. But I went from ignorant. I didn't say it to be cute or different. I was ignorant. I'm not the quickest study on some things. I went from ignorant to informed in a heartbeat. What was I to do? I have the free will. I have the right to call myself anything I want to. I'm Deb and I'm a double dependency weirdo. I mean, I have the right to call, and by the way, I'm an alcoholic too. I mean, I can say whatever goofy thing I want to say. I have the right. That's on this side. The ignorant side. But on the here we're just simply alcoholics side, don't I have a greater responsibility that outweighs my rights? Don't I have a greater, higher responsibility to tradition one of common welfare? Not Miss Puppet, not Miss what were the robot women? They escape my mind right now, but you know what I'm talking about. I have a higher responsibility to my fellow. And I knew I could keep saying I'm chemically dependent. But every time I knew I said it, I knew that it was wrong. And the more I would say it, which I mean, I didn't, but I knew this in thinking this through, the more if I chose to keep saying it, the more I'd have to defend why I'm saying it. And the deeper that conviction to defend it would have to go. Luckily, I had enough in my thinking smarts to think, to basically examine myself. Just do what they recommend. Just do what they suggest. When I started choking out, I'm Deb, and Debbie, and I'm an alcoholic. My roots went deeper, and I didn't know that I was kind of keeping myself apart from you. Not intentionally. Sometimes we will intentionally, sometimes we won't. But that wall came down and I became more a part of. I call it my gentle conformity. I chose to make that change. Wasn't required. I didn't have a sponsor say you better or else, nothing like that. But I was drawn to your way of life. I was drawn to that. Coming back to tradition five. So there's two things about that. So I'm trying to turn the air off. So I mentioned earlier that our group has a singleness of purpose. And so what does that look like? Well, let's read the long form of the tradition real quick. Each Alcoholics Anonymous group, and this would to me include meetings, but remember they were designing this, that groups would be started, but we've got lots and lots of meetings, very good, helpful meetings, but groups extend outside of the 1 hour session. It ought to be a spiritual entity. Am I helping participate in that spiritual entity? Or again, thinking, well, somebody else will do it. I don't need to get there early. I don't need to do commitments. What am I doing to help contribute and be a part of the spiritual entity, especially of my home group? It has but one primary purpose, that of carrying its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Now, for a long time, I didn't see that word "its." It was not that it doesn't apply, that carry my message one-on-one, carry the message, share with others what Alcoholics Anonymous is to someone who's new. But what's my group's message? What are they carrying? What are they saying? If somebody there to greet you, or I've gone to meetings 20 minutes early, not a car in the parking lot. I'm checking my watch. Did I get the wrong day, the wrong time? And 5 minutes before, whoosh, like a locust. Here they come. Meeting starts. There's no fellowship. There's no much going on. 5 minutes after it's over, whoosh, empty parking lot. Their message is we come, we talk, we leave. That's the message. Okay, check. But that's not what it looks like in my home group. And I wouldn't belong to a home group that did look like that. I'm not judging them. Obviously, it works for the people that are going there and need to talk. I've got to go for the recovery message. I've got to go for the listening, not for the talking myself. I'm there 45 minutes before the meeting starts. I have a service commitment. Right now I'm the intergroup rep, but I also bring the coffee. We're not making coffee yet just because we don't have that many people drinking coffee. So I just have offered to bring the coffee till we decide otherwise. Try to make it again as real of a meeting as possible. Watch for that door for that unfamiliar face. I don't know if they took their last drink 100 years ago or in the parking lot. I haven't met them before. Let's make sure that they have a welcoming experience. Do we have literature available or is it a secret? Do we have a welcoming spirit? Is the music of AA being played? Do you hear the laughter and the cackling and the giggling and the interaction? Is the heartbeat of AA felt? Our singleness of purpose. We're here for the recovery from alcoholism. We're not going to have a little talk on off to the side room on finances. Or we're not going to have a little talk over here on real estate, get rich schemes. No, we've got, here's our deal. These three legacies behind us, of course, I know it's the Yellow Brick Road, but these three legacies behind us in that home group, the steps, the traditions, the concepts, this is all we got to offer you. Here's our literature. What can we help you with? The message we have is please come back. We want you and we welcome you. Can I make it attractive for them to come back? Maybe they're visiting and rolling through town or just happen to have a Monday night off and they decided to check us out. That's all good. But I don't ever want them to feel, oh, I'm never going there again. Not one person said hello to me. I've had that experience. I've had to work hard the room I was a visitor in for someone to stand still longer enough to say anything to me. That is not the message and singleness of purpose I want in my group. What is your group's message? What is my message? This goes also into sponsorship. So when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I'd been dancing and visiting you for 10 months about. And I smoked one joint, which was the second slip I'd had. And it caused me, thankfully so, I had my psychic change, not the result of a prayer or a commitment or get me out of this jam, God. It was an unasked for gift of grace that would change my direction. When I went to the weekly meeting, and the way I used to go to meetings was I walked in when it started, left when it was over. So I never saw the music, felt the heartbeat or heard the music of AA, because you don't when you walk in late and you leave as soon as you can. When I went early, that's when I heard those things for the first time. And I sauntered over to the old timers and I said to them, what do you do to stay sober? They shared with me seven things. None of them was anything to do outside of AA. So where do you live, kid? What do you do for a living? What do you drive? How much money do you make? What's your family background? What's your education? Who cares? It would not have been an impressive resume, I assure you. Because they only had one thing to offer. And that was, well, this is what we've done to stay sober. This is what we've done to live a different way of life. They didn't say, now, where do you bank? I recommend you bank over here. Who you got insurance with? Well, I think you should go over to Joe and sign up with Joe and get some life insurance. Or none of that. I don't know what most people do for their living and their livelihood in AA and really don't care. It's not one of my questions. It might come up as they mentioned their profession, but I don't really care. Are you an alcoholic? I sponsor gay men. I sponsor gay women. I sponsor different nationalities. So if you think you're different, you're going to have a harder time. But here to me, you are an alcoholic. You are simply an alcoholic. I'm going to treat you like an alcoholic. I'm not going to treat you like somebody who's different. I understand it. but let's get you a part of instead of you keeping you apart from. You can insist on staying apart from. There's not much I can do about that. But I'm going to treat you like everybody else, which gives me principles before personalities. I don't treat anybody more or less based on anything in their background. They all get the same from me. All of them. So when I came to them and I said, what do you do to stay sober? I'm asking a question for the first time. They said, well, here's what we do. We have that statement in our big book. They laid out the kit of spiritual tools for my inspection. And they didn't hand me a tray with them on. They said, here they are. One by one, you have to take the action to pick them up. So one by one, I did. Now, I didn't do this in the first day, week, or year, but they were always there for me to gather up. We get a sobriety date. We don't take that first drink one day at a time, and we get a sobriety date. And I shared with you February 8, 1976, and I've been sober ever since. But I've had sobriety dates. What's the big deal about this one versus the other one? Two things. Number one, I had that psychic change that I, for the first time, admitted I was an alcoholic. And number two, I was willing for the first time to listen to somebody else. I knew not to ask the question with, I know. Don't bother them if you're going to do that, Deb. Don't listen with conditions and don't look to negotiate. Because you always negotiate for less, down, minimum effort. The difference is the remaining six things they shared with me, I had not done before. We go to a lot of meetings and get a home group. My current home group for, and I've lived in four different parts of the country. I've had four different home groups simply as the result of moving. My home group currently is the primary purpose group, meets Monday nights at 8 o'clock, and I'm an invested member. My home group is not based on convenience. It's based on commitment. Would I like it closer? Sure. Would I like it a little earlier in the night? Sure. But it's not. And I know I am fully invested in that group. It is a commitment. I assure you it's not based on convenience. They said that we get a sponsor or a mentor. I've been blessed with four sponsors. My current sponsor is a woman named Marilyn S. from Los Angeles, and we've been working together about 2.5 years. They said that we take the steps. I have done that numerous times, but more importantly, I have taken others through the steps. Just was working with one of the gals this morning. I always have someone through the steps. That we apply the traditions, not just as members of a group, but in our personal life as well. Boy, that was a great step up. That we are in service, because you were really clear. You've done enough taking. You've got to go from taker to giver. And so having a service commitment required, it was, you always had a service commitment in your home group. It was the stuff you did outside of that convenience that we count, so to speak, like my inner group rep. It's not easy to do that or convenient. It's outside the meeting level. This is not a regular group for me. This is a form of service. Many, many things. Answering the phones, that's a form of service. Helping others when asked, that's a form of service. And then carry the message. And that for me is the message of a different way of life, those things. Sobriety date, home group, sponsors, take the steps, apply the traditions, be of service, and care, help others, basically. Not once did they ever steer anything else in there. They kept it very simple. When I sponsor people, I only use Alcoholics Anonymous literature, whether by us producing it. I notice I didn't say conference approved. Because we have many awesome pieces of literature. Their purpose is conference approved. Their content is not, because of the nature of the publication. It's either AA produced or Grapevine produced. And big reason is today, let's say John Doe writes how to do an inventory. And all of a sudden I say, now we have this process in the big book. It's good, but John Doe wrote this book on how to do an inventory. This is what we're going to use this time. And 5 years from now, Jane Doe writes a book and John Doe's is now pretty passe. So we used to use John Doe's, but now we use Jane Doe's book. That's really get you in depth. It's amazing that since 1939, this book's been pretty effective just without the accessory writings. The 12 and 12, I'm not aware that we have a pamphlet on how to do a written inventory. We have grapevine booklets on people's experience, sharing the steps, making amends, sponsorship. That's all their shared experience, not this is how you do it. So singleness of purpose, by sticking with the same book, the same literature, I get to carry the same singular message, the message of recovery from alcoholism. If people find those other books, that's their business. They find it helpful, fine. It's nothing I'm going to introduce them to, is my point. So how am I keeping singleness of purpose in my personal life? You know, my husband and I, we might have different interests in participating in outside things. That's fine. You don't have to. My sponsees don't have to. We have the traditions that we apply to the best of our ability, that we have a singleness of purpose in being a spiritual unit, working together, being of service independently and to others in our life, that we have a relationship with a higher power, that we serve and carry this message to others, that in our marriage is honesty and unity and collaboration and self-support and singleness of purpose. Keeping outside issues outside. There's things I'm interested in that Kent isn't. I don't try to make him interested in something. I don't try to bring it up. Hey, can I tell you about my feelings about this or that? I know that this is not something which is an outside issue that brings him any joy. So I just keep it to myself and mumble. You know, I can do that. I'm not sure when I'm supposed to stop, but I think it's pretty soon. I want to mention some other things that are very helpful in singleness of purpose. We have this pamphlet, The AA Member, Medications and Other Drugs. When we wrote that and this one, The AA Member, the AA for the Alcoholics with Mental Health Issues and Their Sponsors, I was concerned that we were getting into outside issues, that we were writing stuff that was not really in our wheelhouse. Those pamphlets have proven to be very helpful to me. I don't have a problem in either of those conditions at this point. Maybe one day I will. But it educated me how to better help the alcoholic. Not that I'm going to get into their medications or their mental health issues, but to have some compassion, to steer them to working always with professionals. Keep our singleness of purpose just that for those who are still suffering, be they brand new or not. Let me close with this. Bill Wilson said, our co-founder, our society, therefore, will prudently leave to its single purpose, the carrying of the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Let us resist the proud assumption that since God has enabled us to do well in one area, we are destined to be a channel of saving grace for everybody. Let's make sure that the letters AA 87 years from now still stand for Alcoholics Anonymous and not anything anonymous. This is what's up to us in keeping our singleness of purpose. This is the only place for the alcoholic. Thank you very much. That's it for today. All right.